Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama taslima kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du fa'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَّكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we were discussing the tafsir, or not in reality tafsir, but some aspects of Surah Wadduha, because the time is too limited to go into any detailed tafsir. However, we have discussed to some extent the early part of this surah, and you are well aware by now that Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was going through a very difficult period in his life, where the wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala stopped coming for some time. And I explained to you that there's hikmat and wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in everything that is taking place. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to console Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, that he has not forsaken him, he is not displeased with him, Allah ta'ala revealed this surah. Because the kuffar and the mushrikeen, they were taunting and they were laughing, and they were saying that your Rabb has forsaken you, your Lord has become displeased with you, or na'uzu billah, even as you know by now that your shaitan has forsaken you. So these things hurt Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent the verses to console him and assure him that Allah is not displeased with you. So he takes qasam by the glorious morning light, and he takes qasam by the night when it is still, to give this clear message that there are great virtues and there are great benefits in both, in light and in darkness. And just as day will surely follow night, in the same way, this period of time or this difficulty that you are experiencing or this withholding of the wahi, it will not remain for all times. There's great wisdom behind it, and just now you will see the light. I've explained all that, now let us go a little further. After having given Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam so much of assurance, now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Allah ta'ala had said before that wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda. Soon Allah ta'ala will give you so much that you will become pleased. And I've given you some explanation what that means. There's no time to recap everything. However, now Allah Ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you? Or did Allah Ta'ala not find you an orphan child? Allah Ta'ala says that you were found to be an orphan child. So we gave you shelter. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that he gave shelter when he found Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam an orphan child. So those who know the basic Islamic history, they know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was born, his father had already passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born a yatim child. Allah Ta'ala wanted to show the world that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not going to be dependent on his father for his nurturing, upbringing, because tomorrow they could say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's tarbiyah was made by his father. And there was great wisdom why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took his father away. But the fact is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born an orphan child. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he was 6 years of age, his mother passed away at a place called Abawa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was gone to Madina Sharif with his mother. And at the place called Abawa, that is where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. on the return from Madina Sharif, and that place at present they call it Mastura. But that is where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that I still recall, he used to say that I recall that when my mother was passing away, I was sitting on the side of her head, seeing the last moments of my mother's life. Now that mother who used to say, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born, that all of you are so excited, so happy at my birth, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no one more handsome than him, more beautiful than him, and she had seen so much of miracles already. So she used to say that all of you all are so happy, but I wish his father was living. How happy Abdullah would have been if he had seen this child. As Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala used to say, خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ أَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطُّ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. More handsome a person I haven't seen, and more beautiful than you, no woman has given birth in this world. You have been born clear and pure of any deficiency and weakness. It is as if Allah Ta'ala created you exactly as you desired. So she used to say, I wish Abdullah could have seen this child. But she says, I recall that I was sitting on the side of my mother's head when she was breathing her last. And then he says that I also remember walking on the side of my mother's janaza when she was going to be buried. So at the age of 6, the mother is gone. So Abdul Muttalib, who was his grandfather, he used to climb onto the mountains and watch, wait for the caravans to return from Madina Sharif. Because there was not the age of communication that we have, or telecommunication that we have. There were no cell phones and telex and fax. They had to wait for the person to bring the message. So when he saw that there was a caravan that was coming, and in there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who had gone with his mother, but now he had returned without his mother. So what he must have felt. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loses his father, loses his mother, loses his grandfather when he is only 8 years of age. Now all these things were happening because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was going to make the tarbiyah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. He was going to create that love in the hearts of others to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Therefore Allah ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you an orphan child? And we gave you shelter. Normally orphans are discarded. They are not cared for. There's nobody to pass the hand of affection and love over their heads. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the yateem and myself will be like this. And he pointed his two fingers. Just as the two fingers are together, he says, Qiyamah, this is how close we will be in Jannat. He said, the person who passes his hands of affection over the head of an orphan child, every hair that comes under that hand, that much blessings and sawab he gets. The person who eats up the wealth and property of the orphan child, then he is eating nothing but he is putting into his belly the fire of Jahannam. Now whenever we talk about the orphan child, our mind immediately goes to some orphanage that is somewhere in the world. And we consider those few children that may be in those homes as the orphan child. The Hadith Sharif does not talk about the orphan child that's in an orphanage. The Hadith Sharif talks about an orphan child. The Quran Sharif talks about an orphan child. We have many, many orphan children in homes of people who are rich, or the father of that child himself could have been a rich person. It is not necessary that the child must be a very poor child, then he is an orphan child. This is a misunderstanding which we must clear. That it is not necessary that the child has to be very poor to be treated as an orphan child. A father, a mother, both of them passed away recently in one accident. And they left behind two children. One is 2 years old and one is 4 years old. Now these parents who passed away, they were not poor. But these children are orphaned. Now whoever is going to take care of these children, the same obligations, responsibilities, duties will fall on their shoulders as that person who is taking care of an orphan child who is a poor child. Of course, the poor child will have more rights. He will require more care, more attention. But even these children now, their properties. Now, I'm not talking about this particular case and you don't know who it is because it didn't happen in Durban. But the point is this, that now let us talk general. That in many, many homes this has happened. Where the father has passed away, he left behind a property. He left behind a home. He left behind some wealth. He left behind a business. Now who takes care of this child? The grandfather or the uncle or the brother or the nephew or somebody who is in charge. Somebody, or it could be even the attorneys and the trustees. But the thing is that those who have been appointed trustees, now they take charge of these children. So in how many cases it has happened that before that child can even become of age, there's nothing left of that property, there's nothing left of that wealth, there's nothing left of whatever that father left behind, because those who had become trustees of those properties, of those orphans, they were the ones who usurped it, they devoured it, they took it at ridiculous rentals, their own property they will let out at thousands of rands. And a very similar type of property which belonged to those orphan children for years and years, because the constitution or because the will had stated that so and so must take care, and there will be any dispute, then it will be their decision will be final. So now they took the property at ridiculous rental for years and years, they use it. What were they putting into their stomach? Fire of Jahannam. That is what they were putting. And then we will find all the arguments in those families. So it is not just a joke to become the trustee of the properties of the orphans. But what I am getting at is this, or placing emphasis is on this, that we must not only think in terms of some orphanage where there are a few children who are poor that are being taken care of when we talk of an orphan. In our own homes they could be orphans. In our neighborhood they could be orphans. In families which are rich families they could be orphans. Because the person was rich and passed away, but he left the children who were minors. So any person who is a minor, according to Islamic law, according to Sharia, then that child is an orphan. Now there are so many hadiths with regards to this, but there's no time to go into details. I just want to bring this point across to you, that Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving this message to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that why should Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be displeased with you? Why should he be offended? Or why should he forget you? Why should he forsake you? Because when you were an orphan child, he did not leave you neglected. It was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who put your love into the heart of your mother. And for 6 months, or for 6 years, this mother took care of you. And then when she passed away, your grandfather took care of you. Again, who put that love into the heart of that grandfather? And then when he passed away, then your uncle Abu Talib, although he never accepted Islam, but he took care. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was making this arrangement all along, because when you were born you had no father, and after that, by the time that you got your nubuwwat, you had no father, no mother, no uncle, no grandfather, no sister, no brother, nothing. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was taking care of you at all the different stages, so He cannot forsake you. He hasn't forgotten you. There's great wisdom why He has withheld the wahi for some time. So from this we learn a very important point, that the first thing that is essential for a child is shelter. These Quranic verses, there are lots of things that we deduce, that the first thing that is essential for a child is shelter. Now the world is talking about shelter for children. And that is the teaching of the Quran Sharif itself, that the first thing that is required for a child is shelter. You cannot leave the child out to die in the elements. of rain and wind and storm. And so whoever is making an effort to find shelter for children is doing a great deed, because that is the essential thing, irrespective of whose child it may be, whether he is a child of a Muslim or a non-Muslim. But if he is a yatim child, the first thing that he requires is shelter. And again, do not have a wrong perception of who is a yatim. As I explained to you, that the person who has lost his father and he is a minor according to Sharia, then that child is a yatim. And from their more general terms, each and every child requires shelter, irrespective of whose child it is, and whether he has wealth or doesn't have. It is the duty of the parents or family members or whoever may be in charge that they must make sure that the child has got shelter. Immediately after that, now there's so much that we can speak on, but let us go to the next point. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى. And we found you wanting in knowledge, so we gave you hidayat. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never ever went astray. There's no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going astray. If the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to go astray, then the whole ummat will go astray. Here what is referred to is that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got his nubuwwat, at that time there are different meanings that are given, but one or two of them I can give you with the limited time. That when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came amongst the people, he saw them drinking, gambling, fornication, adultery, all these things were rife. They were murdering their own children, they were burying their daughters alive. Not only that, but the women had absolutely no rights. The mother used to become part and parcel of the estate that was distributed. The sons used to have relationship with the mother, and they say that it's a father's property which we have inherited. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. That's how bad it was. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very concerned about the condition. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that we made you the hadi. Here for hada means that we made you the guide for all these people. That those who were living this kind of life, you became the guide. You brought them out from the darkness into light. You brought them out from ignorance into knowledge, into the light of knowledge. If you had not come amongst them, then they would have led this life of animalism and they would have gone to Jahannam. But your effort amongst them, your sacrifices that you made for them, that guidance that you gave to them, they didn't only get guidance, but they became guides for others until the day of Qiyamah. Jo khud na the raah par auron ke haadi ban gaye. Those who were not on the right road themselves, they became the hadi for millions of people in the world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used them as guide. They became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah ta'ala pleased with them and they pleased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Every college or any college, university or school, you will never ever find 100% brilliant students, everybody of equal standard. You'll never find that. That everyone gets that kind of certificate in the entire school. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his 124,000 companions that were in Arafat and whoever was a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given them this certificate. Radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. So he says, we made you the guide for them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became the guide for them. Then also there are other incidents that have been mentioned, that what it means by fahada. But there's one incident where Abu Jahl, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was 7 years of age, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was walking and he moved so far away from Makkah Sharif that he lost the way how to return. As a little child, went away towards the mountains. And Abu Jahl, who later became his arch enemy, or Abu Lahab, when he saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was returning from somewhere, so he saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he put him on the camel. He said, come, I will take you. But the camel just wouldn't move because he put Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam behind him. So he tried to move the camel as much as possible, but it wouldn't move. Then he took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put him in front, and the camel began to move. to show that he is the Hadi. So you had lost the way, you went away towards the mountains, we gave you the road back, and many other things. But here now again, the important point is this, that just as I said, that the first need and requirement of a child is shelter. The second most important need is, as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, we found you wanting in the knowledge. And what knowledge of Akhirat? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not know what Jannat was, he did not know what Jahannam was, he did not know what the Qabar was, he did not know all that was in the Quran Sharif. Before the Quran Sharif was revealed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not aware of it. Now all that knowledge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that we gave you that knowledge. You were not aware of it, you didn't have that knowledge. But we gave you directly that knowledge. Your tarbiyah was made by us, that we gave you this knowledge, that everything that was going to happen from now until Qiyamah and after that in Jannat and Jahannam, everything Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you the knowledge of. Allah ta'ala showed it to him what was going to happen. He took him for Miraj and showed it to him in Jannat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَدَى. So the second essential requirement of every child is knowledge. That we have to give the knowledge of deen to the child. There's no such thing as departmentalization or compartmentalization in Islam, secular knowledge, Islamic knowledge and all the other knowledges. What is referred to is this, that the person will use the other knowledge for earning a livelihood. If a person becomes a doctor, he becomes a professor, he becomes an attorney, or he becomes a scientist, or he becomes something else, then all that knowledge he will use to earn the livelihood. What else will he use that knowledge for? To earn a livelihood. And also at the same time, some service to mankind, if he is of that caliber. But that knowledge will not take him to Allah Ta'ala, it will not connect him with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, unless and until he has got the knowledge of Deen. For when he will have Islam, he will have Iman, and he will have the knowledge of Deen, then this knowledge which he has got, which we term as secular knowledge, then that knowledge he will use in the light of Quran and Sunnah, and then that will now connect him with Allah Ta'ala. That means when he is earning the livelihood also via that knowledge which he has got now of science and other things, then he will always find out, is my Allah Ta'ala pleased with this, what I am doing or not? Because he will come across so many different situations in that field that he is working, where he will have to question himself, that is Allah Ta'ala pleased with this or not? If it is a question of taking interest and giving interest, then he'll say, no, this is haram. If there's anything else that is against the etiquette of Islam and Sharia, he'll say, no, I cannot go for that. If there's anything that is prohibited by the Quran and Sunnah, then he'll say that no matter how much money I make from this, but it is not something that I can go for. So whether he becomes a businessman or anything else, there's nothing wrong with it, but he'll have to have the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah to be able to conduct his life as a Muslim, and for that, so that this knowledge may connect him with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this verse, this is the message that we are being given, that is something essential. Every child, it is his birthright that he must be given that knowledge. Now all we have to do is check ourselves, that how many of us have really shown concern that our children must get that knowledge by means of which they will understand who the Creator is, what is the purpose of their creation, why have they come into this world, what are their duties and obligations, what are those things that are pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what are those things that are displeasing to Him. I will come back to this again inshallah, but just sometimes it happens that a person is here for this Jummah and not here next Jummah. Of myself, I don't know whether I will be here. So therefore, the third point, I will just touch on it and conclude. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ قَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And we found you poverty stricken, or we found you without any material wealth and possessions, because you were born an orphan child, no woman also wanted to take you, to foster you. But so Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and we made you independent. We gave you so much that you became independent. That means the third requirement of the child is that the child must be given some skill whereby the child becomes independent, in the material sense. Now what that means, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, then we will continue. But these are three essential requirements of every child. So when we talk about rights, rights of children, the Quran Sharif gave these rights more than 1400 years ago. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana.